Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church this morning. Let's begin by praying together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your love and your grace. We know in your righteousness and justice that there had to be a sacrificial offering for the sins of the world, and you were amazingly and willing to give your Son for that purpose, and he was willing to come and fulfill your will. And so we want to thank you, Father, for him. We want to thank you that you raised him from the dead. We want to thank you that whoever simply believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, the one who died for their sins and was raised from the dead, will never perish but have eternal life. Father, we also thank you for your word, which is alive and powerful. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We thank you for providing us a local congregation of members of one another. Father, we ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would help us understand and get ready to apply the teaching that we will be having this morning. We also pray for the needs of the saints. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would all stand now, we'll have our congregation song. Well, the elders took a bets and figuring that one of you guys would not be coming until 11 o'clock, but I guess we lost. But I guess we won't know for sure until about 10:45, right? All right, good morning again. Because it is March 10th today, in just 3 weeks, it'll be the Resurrection Sunday. And we're looking forward, obviously, to that opportunity for us to just consider and think about the marvel of what happened when Christ rose from the dead. As we sang this morning, that resurrection is the background, the possibility opened up for whoever believes in Christ to be justified freely forever. That's one of the amazing things that happened when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So looking forward to that. Reminder that we do have a prayer meeting every Thursday, and we welcome your prayers. You can mention it to one of the deacons or elders. You can also put it in online. But we want to pray for what you want to pray for. You know, we haven't had anybody putting anything in on the website lately. I'm kind of get lonely. I look at there every Thursday. I'm like, guess these people are living a great life. They don't have anything to pray for. So usually you don't have to use that, but it's actually the most convenient. So for me. All righty, let's begin. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 3, once again this morning. John 17, 3. This will kick off the message, as it were. We are in John 17. Next week, we will come back and begin walking through the passage after verse 3. So we'll probably take a look at the whole chapter, and then we're going to understand how it builds, and it builds in a marvelous way. Title of today's message, Choosing Life. Choosing Life. We've been learning about eternal life, the eternal life that we receive from the Lord the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. We see that it's ours, and we're never going to lose it. But beyond that, we see that we can also live in it now, in this life. And we saw that we can take hold of eternal life. We saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We can take hold of it. That's the beginning of living in it. But then we saw in the book of Galatians, there's at the end, we can reap eternal life. And last week we asked that question. What about in between? What about in between taking hold of it and reaping eternal life? What's designed to happen in that time between the sowing of the seed and the reaping of the harvest? And as it's basically our entire spiritual life, and there's many aspects to that. But last week, we had Jesus Christ simplify it down for us. And he answered that question in John 15. We're not going to go there. But he answered the question in John 15. He said that he is the vine, and we are the branches. And that's a great image for understanding this, what's in simplest form, how our lives are to be after we believe in Christ and we receive eternal life. The moment we're, as it were, connected to the vine, we have eternal life, because the life of the branch and the life of the vine are inseparable. So we have it. And then the question is, in a sense, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to live, knowing that we have eternal life, we can never lose it, knowing, as we're going to see in a second in this passage, what it is? Let's read it now, John 17:3. What are we talking about? This is review, but let's look at it again this morning. This is eternal life, that they may know, they may come to know and have an intimate relationship with you. Jesus is praying. He's talking to his Father. An intimate knowledge with the Father, the only true God, and with Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so it's to be a living relationship based on knowing more and more about who he is, but then also living that way. Living according to who he is rather than according to what we used to be before we were saved. So again, we can take hold of eternal life, and we should. That means to be committed, to hold on to that life of faith in the Son of God who loved us. There's life, and we take hold of it. And then we sow, we can reap it as well. We can reap eternal life. We sow it, we reap it. And that reaping had to do with not getting weary. That's what Galatians 6 says. Persevere, persevere. And then last week we saw, okay, so how do we do that? How do we, as it were, hold on to the vine? How do we let that life pour through us? And the key word for that, remember, was abide. Abide in me. And we saw this is different from position in him. In the same way that being in a house is different from living there as a member of the family, living there day in and day out. There's a big difference between renting someplace and having a life there. In the same way, while we are in Christ forever, thank God, he is in us as the hope of glory. That will never change. Okay, that was established the moment we believed in Christ. But now here we are, knowing these things, and we have today's title, a choice, how we're going to live, how each and every day we're going to live. That's what really the question for us is. You know, Jesus told us what it meant to be a branch on the vine and how we bear fruit. He said, he's the vine and we're the branches. He said, if you abide in me, there's that word, abide, and let me abide in you, let me abide in you. So again, this isn't not being in us, he is. This is not us being in him, we are. But then there's something different. Abide. What is that? What this defines our life, or how it's designed to be from the moment we believe in Christ till he comes back, really. If you abide in me and let me abide in you, you will bear fruit. And we saw last week what that word meant, that Greek word, meno. What's the meaning? What does Jesus mean by abide? And we saw that it was more than just taking a spot, right? It's also to remain, actively dwell somewhere, live somewhere, take up residence somewhere, make a life there. That's what it means to abide. And there's a sense of time there. We abide for a period of time. We persevere. We hold on. We live by faith. That's all built into that word abiding. So with respect to Christ, and that's where we are, we're the vine, and he's the vine, we're the branches, and we're to abide in him, and he's to abide in us. And it basically means simply sharing his life, sharing his life now. So remember, we've died. Who we were, and we were in Adam before we believed in Christ, is we've died to that. The old man was crucified. The old man, our life before we became a believer in Christ, when we lived according to the lusts of our flesh and the world's way of looking at things. As far as God is concerned, that's no more. He's made us a new creation. But even thinking about that, it's really the same question, the same principle. Yes, we are positionally dead. We're dead to sin. And yet Paul in Romans 6 says, how are we who died to sin still living in it? And there's that tension there between what God's been has done for us and how we live our lives. Those are two separate things. And you see over here, thank God, we just believe the truth that he does it all for us. Over here, we have decisions each and every day. So that's built into this abiding. Every day, when we wake up in the morning, we have a choice about whether we are to truly abide that day, to truly remain, to truly, as we saw last week, let the word of God dwell in us deeply or not. We have a choice. So with respect to Christ, then, it means to make Christ, as it were, make Christ our daily life, to put it simply. You know, to get to the place that Paul describes in Philippians when he says, for me, living is Christ. And there's that simplicity again. Now, we know, of course, that he had to abide for quite a while, right, before he could honestly say that his decisions, his applying what he knew to be true, his fighting, the good fight of faith, all of that brought him to a place, as it were, of reaping. And that he defined that as living is Christ. You know, Augustine, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. That's not Augustine. Who's Patrick? He taught what he... Now, you know, Patrick was... He was a Christian, right? And he went to Ireland from England. And when he went there, he said, these guys are nuts. The only way I'm going to make it is if Christ is ahead of me, Christ is behind me, Christ is all around me, Christ is in me. And that's, of course, absolutely true. But then given that, how are we going to live? I mean, it's kind of like the men of Israel fighting in the battles. They knew that the battle was the Lord's. They knew that he had their back. But they also understood that they actually had to go out there and fight. So that's the same thing for us. We have a choice every day. Are we going to make Christ our life today? Are we going to live through him? Are we going to see our life today, tomorrow, through his eyes? Are we going to think and stop for a minute and say, I've died, and my life, Colossians 3, is hidden with Christ? And then what's the choice about that? That's a fact in Colossians 3. Like, let's take an audible. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Yeah, it's not football season anymore. Here I am still taking audibles, but I don't know what else to call it. Colossians 3. This is an audible, so you're not going to see a slide. So here we go. Colossians chapter 3. I keep slipping into 1 Thessalonians. There we go. Watch this. Since you have been raised up with Christ, remember, you've died with him. You were buried with him. You've been raised with him. And by the way, that's all, those are facts. God did all that. Holy Spirit actually applied what it meant, the meaning of Christ's death, of his burial. We sang this morning, carried our sins far away. We are identified with that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We rose with him. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, we went up there with him and we're in the heavenly places. That's the mindset, right? That's a fact that we can't see, but we can live in. Look, Colossians chapter 3 again, verse 1. Therefore, since you have been raised, fact, choose to keep seeking the things above. That's a decision. We can either seek the things above or we can seek the things below. And it's our choice each and every day. Keep seeking the things above. There's that perseverance. There's that holding on. There's that life of faith. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then how do we do that? Verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Notice in verse 2, what's the key? What is it that we choose? You know, like when we say choose, it means we choose and we do something based on that. It's not just a choice like I'm going to choose who's going to win a football game, then I'll sit back and watch it. No, when we choose something, it means we're going to do certain things. And here, what is the thing that we are called to do? Set our mind, right, on the things above, our mind, right? There it is. Where is your mind going to abide today? Where is your mind going to abide tomorrow? Where will your mind be living? What will your mind be concentrating on? What information will you take in? You have a choice about that. You can take in, basically, you know, these choices are simple and straightforward when it comes to God. He looks at it this way. He says, you can either take in how I think, or you can take in how the world thinks. You can have the mind of Christ or the mind of the world. You can have the mind of the Spirit, Romans 8, or you can have the mind of the flesh every day. Mind of the flesh means focusing on the desires of the flesh. It's what we were like before we came to Christ. But every day we can make a decision about whether we're going to live that way another day or whether we're going to instead live by putting our mind on the things above. Okay, so that's an example of what it means to abide, what it means to choose every day of our lives where we're going to abide and who's going to abide, what's going to abide in us. Look, let's go back and look again, and this is where we'll pick things up this morning. John 15, verse 7. The key to bearing fruit, the key to reaping eternal life in time, basically means to make decisions every day to make Christ our life. After all, that's where our real life is, isn't it? Colossians 3. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know what that means? That means for the Christian, everything about this world is dead. There's no life in it. We can't possibly fulfill any of the real desires that God has given us in the world and how the world thinks, how the world acts. There's only one way, and that means to make Christ our life every day. And that sounds sort of mystical, maybe, but the practical side is, where's your mind at? Where's your mind? What are you setting your mind on? That's how our living becomes who Christ is, after all. So here, remember last week, we went to John 15, 7 to 9, and we saw what Jesus meant. He didn't leave us to guess when he said, abide in me. Didn't leave us guessing about what he meant that letting him abide in us. Verse 7 of John 15 now. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and notice that word if, that's an indicator that there's two roads here. You can either do this or not. It's a choice. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. My words abide in you. He said, let me abide in you. And what does he mean by that? Let my words abide in you. You know, he said another time that there's no life in the letter. There's life in the Spirit. He said, I am life. I am the life. I am the way. Peter said, you have the words of eternal life, Lord. That's a powerful thing to think about. If his words abide in us, here he talks about ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Answered prayer in whatever form that happens for us, okay, it's a little different for the apostles, all right? From time to time, we do have to make the necessary distinctions, and I've tried to do that, between where the apostles were at, especially before Christ rose from the dead, and where we're at. But here's the thing about that. Even though we have, really what that boils down to is God's, we call it a dispensation, or God's way of setting up the lives of people that are his people, right, is different before Christ died than it is after he rose from the dead. But you know what? The principles across those are the same. And we're going to see an example of that today. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And that's clearly not in the same age or dispensation or way in which God deals with his people. That's way back. And yet the principles are the same. We're going to see that. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Bear much fruit, right? That's the idea. We're a branch. He's the vine. And we're here now to bear fruit. One of those things is that we're here to develop an intimacy with the Lord in how we think. And oh, by the way, how we act. So that we're in a place where our prayer life lines up with the thinking of Jesus Christ. That doesn't happen automatically. It happens by abiding in the love of Christ. Have his words abide in us. It's a living daily thing. Verse 9. So just as the Father, Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. There's that word again. So as we saw last week, when Jesus says, abide in me and let me abide in you, it's very clear what he means. Now that we read all the way to verse 9 in chapter 15, when he says, let me abide in you, he's saying, let my words dwell richly in your heart. Let my words dwell richly in your heart. And we saw exactly that expression in Colossians 3:15 last week. And we saw that what that led to. We saw how that word, by the way, is not simply something that we keep in our heart, but then we turn around and we give it away. And you see, it's only then that there's things flowing through us, right? That's ultimately the branch is to bear fruit, right? The branch isn't to keep that life in itself, because then it won't bear fruit. It has to move along. It has to pass it on. It's true with the words. It's going to be true with the love. And we are to take it, enrich ourselves, dwell deeply in it, and then pass it on. In Colossians 15, he talked about the fact that teach one another. Speak the words to one another. And hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. We do that for one another. We do that not only in what we say, of course, but how we live. So that the next person coming up the road can hear the words and then look at our lives and see the fruit of those words. So again, he says, let my words dwell richly in your heart. And that's what we do. That's what we do here. When we hear the word of God together in the same place, same people. The growth that we have, by the way, is growth of the body of Christ. In this image, the growth of the vine growing with the branches. But of course, the image of the body is ours. The church is the body of Christ. And so for us, our growth happens when we together enrich ourselves deeply in God's word. And we have the bonds of love between us that grow. In any event, Jesus is saying very simply that let my words dwell richly in your heart. And then the second part, keep on abiding in my love. Keep on abiding in his love. And that's, again, a daily thing. And today we're going to see it's a choice. We have a choice of whether or not today, tomorrow, we're going to abide in his love. In a sense, what we're saying is we're going to be a branch that bears fruit. Because we're going to not only take his love, which is first, we love because what? He first loved us. He first, and this is Christ. Christ showed his love for us when he was here and when he died for us. And he said, that's the love I'm talking about. And the idea is bearing fruit means, first of all, receiving that love. And we should do that. We're all children of God. See how great a love the Father has loved us with. So that's important, you know. It's really, if you don't know that you're loved, it's really hard to love somebody else. But it's straightforward for us to know that we're loved. By the way, here's how to know that we're loved. Very simply, let his words dwell richly in our heart. When it says that the love of God, we will never be separated from it, that comes from the Word, and we let that dwell in our hearts. We understand how much He loves us. So we know that God so loved everybody that He gave His Son to die. That's the love that's here, and that's the love that we can and we need to recognize that we're loved like that. And we always will be. There's that security of love. All right? That's what we pass on. All right? What comes in can go out. That's the whole idea. But again, here's the issue. All right, so that's the first one. Let my words dwell richly in your heart. Then keep abiding in His love. But here's the thing about that. The word choice is here. We choose whether or not we'll abide in Him and whether or not we'll let Him abide in us. Or, to make this concrete, we choose whether or not we will live in His love today and whether or not we will let His word dwell deeply in us today. And then again, when we wake up tomorrow, we really do have that choice. And this is what I want you, we can't run away from that. While it is true that He who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, that's true. But at the same time, each and every day of our lives, we have a choice about it. And those are, of course, in tension with one another. But God says, listen, I've got my ways. Okay, they're higher than your ways. So don't worry about that. Please don't try to figure this out. Live in the way I'm telling you to live. Choose that to live in the love of Christ. Choose to let the word dwell richly in your heart. That's what we're called to do. If we do that, we'll bear fruit. And by the way, Jesus said at one time, He said, those who have the seed and keep it in their heart will bear richly fruit, 60-fold. But there are others who don't, and they don't bear much fruit at all. And that's a difference. We don't know how that will be a difference in all of eternity, but we sure know that it's going to be very different here, depending on the choices we make. But if we do that, if we let Him abide in us through the Word, if we abide in Him through love, we'll bear fruit here in time, fruit that will remain, fruit that will outlive you. Because we're talking about eternal life ultimately flowing through us. It'll outlive us, you know. Think about it. Every time we have a brother or a sister in Christ and we build them up or challenge them with God's word, there's something permanent about that in the hearts of believers. Permanent. And by the same token, every time we preach the gospel and somebody believes that, isn't there eternal fruit from that? Of course there is. That person is now going to get eternal life themselves, and the process will continue. So what we decide to do has eternal consequences. Now you hear that, and sometimes we think about that in terms of the lake of fire, and that's certainly true. But every day of our lives, we can do things that have eternal consequences for each other. That's why we grow together. But we choose to do it. We choose whether or not we will let Him abide in us and whether we will abide in Him. In other words, every day, each and every day, we can choose, can't we, to let His word dwell richly in our hearts or not. We can waste the day if we don't do that. If we don't have, as part of our life, His words dwelling richly in our hearts. Right? Now that does mean having a daily relationship with God's word. And it also means passing that on, however it is that God's called us to do that. A lot of that has to do with your spiritual gift. If you're given the gift of mercy, then it's the mercy in the God's word that you have a special gift to pass on. If you have the gift of giving, then that's, by the way, how you pass on the love. You think about how much God has blessed you and how much He loves you and the sacrifice that God and Jesus Christ made for you and how he blesses you. And he's, by the way, with giving, he says, here's the way it works, gang. He says, you know, I look at a branch. I look at a branch and I see that there's not really much generosity there. You know, and why would God continue to send financial blessing down a branch that isn't passing it on? He won't. That is not works. That is decisions of how are we going to live in the thinking of God and the thinking of Christ, or are we going to live for ourselves? Are we going to love the things of Christ, or are we going to love the things of the world? And very concretely, the way that we are blessed financially, but not just financially. Maybe you're blessed with time. Maybe you're blessed with certain talents. Maybe you're blessed in so many ways. Maybe whatever that might be, we have an opportunity to pass that on. And that's a rich life when we do that. Not only can we choose every day to let his word dwell richly in our hearts or not, again, we can also each and every day now, because sometimes we have this tendency to want to think about something and say, that's wonderful. Boy, I'm glad that's there. And then we forget about it. We don't actually do anything about it. But we can every day decide to live our lives in his love or not. And it's certainly, there are days when it's life itself, life and death, whether or not, first of all, we let God love us. There's life and death in that decision for our own lives. But there's also life and death in whether or not we pass that on, whether or not we live in love, whether or not we understand just how deeply God loves us, just what Jesus went through for us. And then there's a willingness in our heart, a generosity in our heart. That's how we live in his love. But we can choose to do that each and every day. And that ultimately means that we get to choose whether or not today will be a day of life or a day of death for us. Not ultimate. Again, this is talking about here and now. We know that ultimately we will never perish. That's not what we're talking about. We also know that this isn't talking about dying physically, is it? But it simply means, am I going to abide in the love of God and thereby let his life flow through us? We can choose. And that's a challenge. That's a bit daunting even. And that's, you know, that's part of it. Jesus Christ said, listen, the one who's wise builds his house on rock. And he said, that's the person who hears my word and acts on it. You can't escape that. You can't say, well, that was a different dispensation. Because that same concept shows up everywhere in the epistles too. Let us not love, right, in word, but in deed and in truth. Jesus is asking us to let his words abide in us deeply, day in and day out, which means not only learning the word of God, but also obeying it. In John 15, as it goes on, Jesus says, he who keeps my commandment is the one who loves. And boy, that makes sense. This is no longer an Old Testament letter of the law thing, just like we're no longer in the tithing dispensation. But the principle hasn't changed. So we're not cowering in fear about keeping his commandments. That's not what it's about anymore. Rather, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. My commandment, in other words, is that you live in the life that's available. You love the way that he loves. You think the way that he thinks, or not. Each and every day, we can decide that. All right, let's now think about the word of God. We can obey it. We can learn it. We can obey it, but we decide. But I want to give you encouragement today in that, from God's word, because the word of God is a living thing. It's living. It's alive. Jesus has words of eternal life. The words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. That's what Jesus said. And so it's a living thing. Isn't that great? I mean, there are a lot of words that are deathly, that are corrupting. Not the words of Christ. It's a living thing. The word of God is living. Hebrews 4:12. Don't take my word for it. For the word of God is living and active. Don't you love that little word is? You know what that word means? God's going to define something now. He's going to tell you something. It's going to be simple and it's going to be life-changing if you let it sink into your heart. The word of God is living and active. That's why when we let it dwell richly, we are truly alive. That's when we let it, when we pass it on, we are truly living because it's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, as far as both dividing joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When you let the word of God dwell deeply in you, it's that word of God is not going to let you just stand still, spiritually speaking. It's going to challenge you. It's going to point out where your thinking is wrong. It's going to point out where your motivation is wrong. And that's how, by the way, that's how you mature. You don't mature by the world wants to tell you, you know, everything's fine, you're great, live your best life, follow your heart. No. There's your choice. You can do that. Or you can go over here in the Word of God and be challenged and be told there's still things wrong with you as a Christian. How you think is still wrong from time to time. And it's easy to measure. Am I thinking with the mind of Christ or the mind of the world? That the intentions of our hearts are still wrong at times. We still have desires for the wrong things. We still covet. We still go with our flesh rather than with the Spirit. But the Word of God is a living thing that pours through us. And when it pours through us, it pours life through us. And that life is eternal. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. When his words pour through us, they're alive, they're powerful, they're living and active. When that happens, life is pouring through us. Eternal life is pouring through us. Boy, you know, think of where we started with the idea that, boy, I get eternal life and then someday I'll know what that's all about, and I'll live it when I'm in heaven. And now we're finding out that you can live it every day. And not only that, but it can pour through you each and every day because his very words are alive. Look at 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have an obedience to the truth, there it is, the word of God, purified your souls. 1 Peter 1:22. Notice how this lines up perfectly with abiding in Christ and letting him abide. Since you have in obedience to the truth, that's the word of God, that's how it flows through you. You learn it and you obey it. You've purified your souls for a purpose. The end of our instruction, pastors are told by Paul through the letter of 1 Timothy, the end of your instruction is love from a pure heart. For a sincere love of the brethren, and then fervently love one another from the heart. But you have noticed this, though. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but what? Imperishable. What does that mean? It means it's talking about the living and enduring word of God. The only reason you're a Christian is because you heard the word of the gospel and believed it. I mean, I'm saying that wrong in the sense that you're a Christian on the basis of God's work. But in terms of how you entered into it, he said, this is the way. The way is to simply hear words and believe them. And that's also true day in and day out. We decide, therefore, here it is, what we let into our heart. We decide. And we choose on a daily basis. What am I going to let in my heart? Every day I can choose. I'm going to let Christ's words dwell there. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are beyond, are of good repute and so forth. I'm just trying to think the way Jesus thinks today. I can do that. I can decide. You've heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out, though. Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's true. Sure, it was true for computers. That's where I think they came. It's true for our spiritual life. So the question is, we know we got to guard our heart. Why? Because there's words out there. And guess what? There are words of life and words of death. There are words that will build you up and build others up. There are words that will free you. There are words that will take out that fear. There are words that will empower you. Unfortunately, there are also words of death. And we get to decide what's going to be in our heart. And here's a simple, simple love simplicity. Here it is, simple. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is a word of life. That's simple, isn't it? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is a word of life. Matthew 4, 1. Matthew 4, 1 to 4. Every word. What am I saying? I'm saying every word in this book is a word of life. If you take it in, believe it, and live that way, especially. It's living, it's active. But the words that Jesus speaks, spirit in their life. Look at Matthew 4, 1. He knew that, and when he was tested, that's what he did. Look at Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We have our wilderness times ourselves. And we'll be tempted. Yeah, the kid doesn't want to be I understand. Yeah, I don't want to be tempted either. What? Yeah, so there's times this will happen to us. We'll be under pressure. And after Jesus, verse 2, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he, by the way, the devil knew he was the Son of God. He's basically saying, since you are the Son of God, why don't you just command that these stones become bread? But notice Jesus' answer from the Word of God, from the book of Deuteronomy, actually. Jesus answered the devil, and he said, "It is written." He says, "I'm going to speak words of life now. I just heard words of death." The words of death were, don't do what your Father's will is. Do what your flesh is asking you to do. Nope. He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And on the word of God, and this is what we got to come to understand and believe. I'm sure you've heard this, most of us. But the question is, have you applied it? The word of God is as necessary as our daily food. The word of God for our hearts and how we think is just as necessary to us as the food with which we nourish our bodies. But my question to you and to me is, which of those do we take the more seriously? Think about that. Do you take more seriously your diet and the kind of nutrition that's in it and whether or not you eat junk food and smoothies? And this is all good. I'm not putting any of that down. But that's a small issue compared to what? The issue of our heart, the issue of our soul, the issue of our mind. So think about the way, think about your, just the way you treat food, and then say, do I have that same way of thinking about the Word of God? Do I wake up this morning and say, man, I'm hungry in my body? But you know what? When I'm being honest, I'm hungry in my spirit right now. My mind is hungry. My mind, not only that, is about to go out, and there's going to be all kinds of spiritual junk food out there. And I know that my temptation, just like physically, I don't know about you, my temptation is to grab the junk. I don't know why, but I do know why, because that's what the lusts of the flesh are all about. Don't eat healthily, eat junk. Well, the same thing is true about our minds. Don't set your mind on the things above. Set it on the things below. Listen to the lies. Listen to the people that question God. Listen to the people that say, you know what, God's ways, phew, that's too hard. He's just kidding. You don't really have to. Right? Just like the devil tempted Adam and the woman. Has God really said that? Does he really say that if you just eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll die? Ah. If he's saying that, he must be unfair. Ignore it. Now you might say, how shocking. That's why we're in the predicament we're in, as having sin in the flesh. But before you get too hard on Adam and the woman, think about it yourself. Think about your attitude to the Word of God. Think about how we sometimes diminish it. Say the same thing. Oh, you know what? I'm saved. Anything else is optional. No. Everything else is as necessary as our daily food. The prophet Jeremiah understood this. Look at Jeremiah 15:16. Look how he put it. And again, I want you to be honest this morning. And I want you to consider your relationship with God's word. And ask yourself, honestly, is this how I see it? Jeremiah 15:16, talking to the Lord. He said, your words were found, and I what? Ate them. I devoured them. I needed them. I needed them more than I needed physical life. I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. You know, you have a great meal and there's some delight, and that lasts maybe an hour. Or if you're drinking wine, maybe it lasts 2 hours. You know, but it's not there forever. That joy is temporary. But the Word of God gives you joy that's permanent. And Jeremiah was wise to that. The delight of my heart, for I've been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. This is true throughout the life of the believer. For the young believer, the Word of God is like milk for a baby. Milk for a baby. In the interest of time, I'm just going to give you the scripture and read it. If you're really fast, you can go there, but you don't have to. It's here, and you can write that scripture down. 1 Peter 2:1-3. Therefore, putting aside, notice this, putting aside all malice. You see, here's the thinking of the world. Here's the deadly things that we can also let in our mind. We can read something and get angry and have malice towards the people that we don't like or people that have the wrong political views or whatever. We can do that. I don't recommend it. We putting aside that malice, putting aside all deceit, the false teaching, the lies of the world, and the hypocrisy and the envy and all slander. Oh, but you can live there if you want. You have a choice, but put that aside. He says, instead, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word. So that by that, the word of God, you may grow in respect to salvation if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. You can grow. With respect to your salvation, that doesn't mean your salvation is in question. It just means that the gift that you got at salvation can grow. For the mature believer, the Word of God is solid food, meat. So for a young believer, it's like milk. For the mature believer, it's like meat, solid food. Hebrews 5:12-14. Here's another one that shows you the choice, by the way. Hebrews 5:12-14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. What does that mean? I mean, you've been a believer for a while now. You've had choice day after day to let the Word of God dwell richly or not. And based on the reports he's getting from this particular congregation, they haven't been really good at that. And that was their choice. And they missed out. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Can you see how if you don't nourish and nurture your mind with the Word of God, that it can become, go the other way? If you're taking the wrong things in, you're going to think wrong. And then you're going to need to go back and have someone teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. But that's okay, because the best things are the simple things anyway. But then he says, you have come to need milk and not solid food. What's he saying? You're just like a baby believer. But you don't want to be that. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm a man, I want to think like a man or a woman. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he or she is an infant. I'll put you in your place. But solid food is for the mature. Because of what? Yeah, in verse 14, maybe you don't have to be there. I told you you didn't need to go. I'll read it. Solid food is for the mature. That's the word of the God, word of God. Right, that's digging into Paul's letters, for example, the meat. Understanding in Ephesians 3 what he meant by the word of God growing and growing and the mysteries that we can understand. That's for the mature who, because of practice, there's that word, practice, day in, day out, being challenged by it. Who was that? Allen Iverson? Was that the guy, basketball player? And he used to say, practice. I don't want to do practice. Well, none of us want to do that. I mean, be honest with you. So, but that's the way, that's perseverance. That's day in, day out. That's holding on. That's having faith. Practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You don't automatically discern good and evil. Did you know that? People think, well, now that I'm a Christian, I have perfect discernment. I'm just laughing because of, you know, through tough experience and through watching other people, that is just not the case. Where does good and evil discernment come from about that? The Word of God, dwelling deeply, practicing the Word of God, hearing something and then saying, you know what? I'm not going to just go with it. I'm like, yeah, I heard a rumor. I heard a conspiracy. I heard this. I heard a great preacher the other day. Well, did he say Jesus is God? I don't know, but what a voice he had. And he was stirring me up, and I got emotional. Well, but did you discern good from evil? It's a good question to ask from time to time. The psalmist in Psalm 19 said this about the word of God. He said that the precepts of the Lord, his word and his commands, are sweeter than honey. That's in Psalm 19, verses 8 to 10, in the interest of time. Take my word for it. He said, the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, the heart, the eyes. More desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold, and also sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That taste is good, but nothing like the sweet taste of the word of God. When it's challenged you, now you have the fruit of righteousness. We literally choose life when we choose to let the Word of God dwell deeply in us. We literally choose life, when we choose to let the Word of God dwell deeply in us. Deuteronomy 30 now. We're saying, you know, this is a question. Am I going to choose this or that? Every day I get to choose life or I get to choose death, the way I think and what I love and how I live. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy is reminding the nation, they're about to go into the promised land, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. And don't just think that it's physical milk and physical honey he's talking about, because it's the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God. That's what sustains everybody. Deuteronomy 30, 19 to 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice and by holding fast to him. Now, in their case, it was really a matter of life and death. Okay? The nation of Israel, their life was being in the promised land. That's not true of us. We don't have a physical promised land. But we can live in life every day or not. That's what we're talking about. Our choices also, you know, determine whether we're living in life or death. They had a choice, life or death, blessing or curse. And isn't it remarkable? Because the way of life was the same for them as it is for us. We get to choose. Are we going to abide in Christ's love? We get to choose. Are we going to hold fast to his word? Their path to life, though, was what? Loving the Lord, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. What is ours? Abiding in Christ's love and holding fast to his word. There are two paths. One path leads to life, and the other path leads to death. And there are words that give life. And there are words that lead to death. I just want to show you that. Look at 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Words now. Words matter. Words that you let in. Words that you have dwell in your heart. You can't always, obviously you can't control everything that comes to your ears, can you? But you can control what makes it through your ears and your brain and your heart. That's the issue. There are words of life and words of death. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. See, you can do that. That doesn't mean you're going to hell. It just means that you're turning in the wrong direction. How does that happen? Notice, by paying attention to deceitful spirits that are out there, doctrines of demons. And the doctrine of demons simply means the way that God's enemies think. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Words can be life and words can be death. Now, how does it come, verse 2? By the means of the hypocrisy of liars. Where do the doctrines of demons come from? Liars. And they're hypocrites because they're telling you it's the truth and they're lying. That's what happened. That's why you need discernment. And so forth. Jesus is basically telling us, don't think the way my enemies think. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus is saying, seek my mind. Seek my mind. Don't be children anymore. Don't be carried away by the lies and the deceit, but speak the truth in love. Grow up into all aspects, into Christ. That's Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. But you say, why are you rushing? Well, I'm rushing a little bit. I'm trying to let you hear the words, giving you the scriptures, because I want to get to that second one. Our choices every day are not only to what we set our minds on, but also how we love. Are we going to love like Christ loves? Are we going to go the way of the world? We have a choice about that. Are we going to go, are we going to love like Christ loves, sacrificially, in a dedicated way, in a way that puts aside our own interests for the interests of others? Or are we going to go the way of the world, me first? You know, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to look at my bucket list and I'm going to say, that's first. And, oh, maybe if there's time, I'll get around to thinking about somebody else. It's not the way it works if you're a Christian. That's not how life works. That's not where you get life. Don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. Because if you're doing that, so you can do your choice about love. You can love the world, or you can love the way the Father loves. You can love the lusts of the flesh. You can love the lusts of the eyes. I want to go here. I want to see that. I. You can love boasting and pride. That's not from the Father. That's from the world. That's the choice that leads to death. Are we going to love the things of the world, or are we going to love the things of Christ? We can choose. How do we choose life and how we love? That's the question. And it's really simple. We're going to close in 1 John 14, verse 3 rather. There is no 1 John 14. 1 John 3, 14 to 18. And again, keep in mind, this is a daily choice. It determines whether you're going to live in life today or whether you're going to live in death. What do you love? That's the question. What do you love? 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Okay, now we sometimes look at that and we think about it in terms of eternal life, the moment of salvation. That's certainly true. But here, this is talking about how we live our daily lives. We can pass out of death and into life. How? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not, notice this, he who does not love abides in death. Real simple. Do you want to abide in life today? Or do you want to abide in death? It's your choice. It's how you love. If you don't love the brethren, if you don't love the things of Christ, if you're not laying down your life for one another, but instead you're laying down your life for the desires of the flesh and the world, that's death. You're abiding that day in death. And then notice verse 16. We know love by this. Very simply, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then he gives an example, and this is going to be challenging, but that's what I want to leave you here. He says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, that's the branch shutting down. How does the love of God abide in him? How is that happening that day? If you see a brother in need and you close your heart, the love of God is not abiding. It's not living right now. It's not passing through you. Don't love with word. Love with deed in truth. Let his love flow through us. We're to lay down our lives. Bottom line, I know I went a little over today, but this is the bottom line. I wanted to get to it. Very simple. When we're thinking the way he thinks and loving the way he loves, that's when we're really living. When we think the way he thinks, love the way he loves, that's when we're really living. All right. Thank you for indulging today, me, so I can finish. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this series about eternal life has been so simple. So simple. We've ended today with the choices that we have. Help us to make the right ones. Help us to let the word of God dwell in us deeply so we begin to think more and more the way Christ thinks. Help us to abide in love so that we learn to love the way that Christ loves. Because we do want to be fully alive in this life. We'd like to reap eternal life here. Help us to keep our eyes on the things above. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we'll have Bible study this Thursday. I want you to seriously consider now the implications of what we talked about today, particularly in the realm of giving. This is not, by the way, I'm not talking about this church, okay? I'm really not, okay? Because I'm talking about giving for the needs of the brethren. That's what I'm talking about, okay? The Lord says he loves a cheerful giver. He says, listen, he who sows, you know, generously will reap generously. We already talked about that. So just consider that. Consider what you can do in the realm of giving for your brothers and sisters who are in need. Okay, I'll just close on that. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for a day of challenge, a day of choices, a day of encouragement, a day where we get to understand the power of your word, the power of your love, and realize that each and every day we have choices. Help us, Father, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word to make the right ones. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed. Hope you can join us on Thursday. Not only, but Isaiah 53 is a hot word.